Well, one way or another, folks, they're going to get you. They're going to get you any way they can. Well, I want to thank you for listening to the Rusted Culture Show. It's the only show where we stare down what's simply rusted in our new conservative culture. And as always, you can email the show, email me, Frank Ebersold, anytime at rustedcultureradar@gmail.com. One way or another, they're going to get you. Well, they're going to get you in healthcare, and they're really working on it as I speak right now. Old Tom Price is sharpening his pencil, sitting next to Paul Ryan, no doubt. Just yucking it up. You know, instead of fixing Obamacare, what they first do is they talk it down. And they promise you to repeal it. And then they look around and they point at the insurers with glee, who back away from the marketplace saying, "Oh, look, Obamacare's in a death spiral. It's in a death spiral. Look at that. How did that happen?" Well, you know what you call it, folks? It's called healthcare sabotage. And it's happening right now, right here, every day almost. It's in the news. It's called healthcare sabotage. It's pure and simple. I really think I'd like to encourage you to call your congressman or congresswoman, no matter what party you are, and tell them to fix the darn thing instead of repeal it. We've got too much in there that works to just throw the whole thing out. Too much money's been spent. The framework, the process, the concept is right. Tell them to keep Medicaid, by the way, for the poor instead of slamming it to hell like they love to do. Well, at this point, there's no doubt I'm going to lose some of the conservatives as if they were even listening anyway, but I really believe that health care is a right for all Americans. I can just hear them now. Oh, shocking. My God, you communist, you socialist, anti-capitalist. You know what we do when we don't like something, even if it makes sense? We put labels on it like a big bullseye so we can attack it that much easier. You know, for example, instead of saying, just out of the blue, we should be respectful and courteous to each other and avoid being rude, which everyone would agree with, no matter who you are. We've been taught that since nursery school. Well, what we do is we label that as political correctness. We call it political correctness. So everyone that's willing will feel so much better about attacking a cause or something or someone. That's how we do it. It's the conservative way. The simple recipe is to call something socialist or politically incorrect. And we'll get a lot more hate that way to knock it down. Well, conservatives, as you may not be too shocked to realize, they've been stoking the socialist fire now all the way back to 1945, when FDR, in his State of the Union address during that year, said the right to adequate medical care and the opportunity to achieve and enjoy good health was listed as number 6 among the 8 rights that he enumerated in that speech. Well, years later, that was followed by Harry Truman, who later proposed a national health insurance plan that gained no traction, and it was labeled socialist again by many. Just put a label on it so we can fight it. That's what they've been doing with health care. They've been kicking the dang can for a long time. You know, to be fair, though, there are many Republicans who supported Obamacare and the expansion of Medicaid. There were a lot of Republicans who did. You've got a governor like John Kasich of Ohio. You even have Branstad in Iowa that expanded Medicaid. And that's a great thing. You know, it doesn't have to be a partisan thing. Sometimes we get all bent out of shape as to whether somebody's a Republican or whether somebody's a Democrat. And to me, it just doesn't matter. There's things I believe that make sense no matter what party you are. So it's really not a Democrat versus a Republican thing. There are, as I said, a lot of Republicans who support fixing Obamacare and keeping the Medicaid expansion, but yet there are many who are loath to support it and call it a handout. To me, a right isn't a handout. You see, folks, I believe that when you have a healthier America with healthier Americans, not just healthy, rich Americans, when you do have a healthier America with healthier Americans, you get a stronger America. Are we as Americans such a bad investment that the government won't invest in its people? You know, I believe that if you do the investment in your people by providing, not gutting, health care, when you do the investment, I promise you the investment will pay off. It will pay off with a healthier workforce, a workforce that's not strapped by medical bills and the fear of medical bankruptcy. It's elitist and uncompassionate to deny health care to the poor and then expect them to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. How many times have you heard that? You know, do the investment in America and you will get the dividends. We Americans are a good investment. Give us health care and we will prove it. You know, that investment in Americans and in America's workforce will ultimately allow millions of Americans to save and spend more money that will in turn power the economy. Don't tell me, Mr. Trump, don't tell me for a second that you're going to cut taxes for the rich. Don't tell me that you're going to spend billions on a dang wall, Mr. Trump. Don't tell me that you're going to fritter away billions more for nuclear weapons that we don't need. That's right. Last week, Mr. Trump, you just promised to put us at the top of the pack with nuclear weapons. For God's sakes, man. For God's sakes, we've got over 4,000 nuclear weapons today. How many more do you need? Stop the insanity. Stop wasting money on crap like this until you fix health care. Well, that's the beginning of the rant here. There's more coming up. We've got the ill-fated alt-right agenda coming right back. Well, the CPAC, as you heard last week, which is also known as the Conservative Political Action Committee, just held their conference last week in Maryland. And you didn't hear the term alt-right used any place in that whole conference, but they were all there. Well, you know, actually there was one that didn't make it. His name is Milo Yiannopoulos. You know, the poor soul. This favorite of the alt-right. What a nasty guy. I mean, come on, evil. This favorite of the alt-right was banned because of comments he made favoring pedophilia. Crash and burn, Milo. However, there was one fellow that was there. Old Steve Bannon was there, the reigning king of the alt-right that sits right next to the president. You know, so it's been a while, and with this Steve Bannon jackal popping his head up, we need to really understand more of just who the alt-right, who these people are, and what they stand for, especially considering their proximity to the president. Well, the alt-right believes in a homogeneous, which is a white America, over any kind of diversity. Just turn your head and look what's going on with immigration right now as we speak. Police powers have been expanded, giving the immigration officers wide interpretation over which immigrants are sent back, even if they've done no crime. Even if they don't have a single speeding ticket, it gives them huge powers to send them back for no other reason than them trying to improve their lives. Now, I want to say, are all immigration officers bad? No, not all the immigration officers are bad. But will you see abuses of this power, this expanded power? Yes. Yes, you will. You know it's coming. You're going to hear horror stories of people who have been here for years just looking to work and improve their life, being sent back for no other reason than being an immigrant. Well, how does this all fit into the alt-right playbook? You might want to know. Well, the alt-right fears immigrants because they fear losing control they have over the control that they have over white America. It's not about making America great, folks. It's all about keeping the white in charge of America. Now, the alt-right fears reports like no tomorrow when they say that by 2023, 1 in 7 residents will be an immigrant. And by 2060, 1 in 5 U.S. residents will be an immigrant. That scares them to death. Here we are, sitting right here smack dab in the middle of America, which was founded by immigrants, as we all know. And we have an alt-right influenced president that's damn scared of immigrants. What kind of America are we turning into? And the alt-right, they're very sneaky about it. You don't hear the alt-right drumbeat anymore because they're in power now, and they just have to convince or appease America while they purify our country. All that to get you to buy in, to get you to buy into all of this. They put labels on these immigrants, and they call them bad hombres. Heard that one before? Them's a bunch of bad hombres. They call them drug dealers. They're all killers. They want to make the job of purifying that much easier. Well, the big problem here is it's not going to end with the bad hombres that have felonies, which, by the way, I'm okay with sending back the true bad hombres, the immigrants that have felonies. You know, the ones that aren't doing what they should. I don't have a problem with sending them back, you know, if they've got felonies. But you know, the problem I have with it is it's not going to end there. I fear that innocent immigrants, hardworking immigrants, will now face the nightmare of being deported. And their only crime? Wanting a better life. Immigrants who are law-abiding and working their asses off should be allowed to stay and gain citizenship. They should have a path to citizenship as long as they have no felonies. You know, after all, if America is really going to grow and we're going to produce as a nation, we need them. Well, for the alt-right, it's all about fearing anyone who is not lily white. The fatal flaw in this whole argument, though, is in this alt-right manifesto, if we can call it that, is that, let's look back here, slavery was abolished in America. Hitler failed in Germany. South Africa crushed apartheid. Don't let the alt-right agenda, don't let it charm you with anything but what it really is. It's racism. Fight back for the America our forefathers wanted. Fight back, America. It doesn't matter, again, if you're Republican or Democrat. Fight for what's right. Well, hang on, and we've got a little bit more coming right up after this. Well, lastly, I've gotten a few emails here at the Old Rusted Culture asking me if there's ever a time, Frank, is there ever a time that you're going to agree with something Donald Trump has done or said? Well, yes, actually, when Trump becomes more like Lincoln, he'll find me to be a more agreeable American. All he has to do is be more like Lincoln. You know, because the America that I know is Lincoln's America, where immigrants are given a fair chance. The America that I know keeps improving and doesn't roll back health care for the poor and the sick that have health care today. The America that I know is an example for other countries, not an America that's mired in confusion with a president saying one thing, like he won't support NATO, and then he leaves his ambassadors, the vice president, and senators to fan out across the globe like they did last week to explain away confusing and conflicting statements that President Trump has made. One more thing. You know, Lincoln was always inclusive, and Trump is, he seeks to exclude people and attacks any dissent. You notice that? Lincoln was self-effacing, where Trump is bombastic and loves to impress. Lincoln was inherently honest. Trump often cites fiction as fact. That is, until corrected by the dishonest media. Lincoln stood for freedom and the freedom of speech, where President Trump is denying today, last week, denying the press, kicking them out, except for the ones that he thinks he can control, kicking them out of press briefings. You know, one thing Lincoln also didn't do, he didn't act like a snide little grade schooler. He didn't act that way. You know, Lincoln was just far too presidential for that. And when I say snide, I mean snide as in congratulatory, congratulating the new DNC chair, Thomas Perez, in a tweet that he did last week. And we have a new staff member here. His name is Elmer, and he's going to read the tweet for us. And by the way, being a new addition to the Rusted Culture, I'd just like to introduce you for a second to Elmer. Elmer?
Well, yes, Frank, it's cool. I'm very happy to be here with you on the Rusted Culture Show. But when I'm not here, you can sometimes find me on the cartoons, namely the Looney Tunes. The Looney Tunes are on Saturdays, and they're made for kids. Entertainment. But again, when I'm not doing the Looney Tunes, I'm going to come here and happy to read the Donald J. Trump tweets. Like he said, make America great again.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, the Looney Tunes. That's great that you've got that background, because in politics, it's going to serve you well. Well, Elmer, thanks for that introduction. And now we're going to have you just read the tweet about Thomas Perez, the congratulatory tweet.
Well, this tweet is from February 25th, and it's from Donald J. Trump. Congratulations to Thomas Perez, who has just been named chairman of the DNC. I could not be happier for him or for the Republican Party.
Well, thank you for that. And while we're on this tweet bandwagon, there's been a lot of regular citizens going to town halls. You've probably seen them on TV. And they're telling their legislators not to repeal, but rather fix, like we talked before, fix Obamacare. Now, many legislators have called the ordinary citizens paid, you know, saying they're bussed in. And even Trump had a little tweet, and I'm going to have Elmer read that one to you. A little tweet about some of the folks that are going to the town halls. Elmer?
I'm glad to be back here once again to read a tweet to you from February 21 from Donald J. Trump. The so-called angry crowds in the home districts of some Republicans are actually, in numerous cases, planned out by liberal activists. Sad!
Well, that's right, Elmer. It's sad. It's sad because Trump doesn't comprehend that there could be an opposing opinion. So what does he do? He diminishes the angry citizens by calling them planned out by the liberal activists. That is sad. You know what? Keep fighting for what you want, America. Healthcare and immigration are worth fighting for. Keep fighting. You know, Trump can't control the media, and he's extremely upset that the Russian story, this old Russian story, just won't go away like it should. I mean, after all, they sacrificed Mike Flynn, but it just won't die. Well, as we've heard it 1,000 times before, the Russian story has been called fake news by Trump, and his tweet is right here about it.
Well, thank you, Frank. I'm glad to be here again today to read another tweet. This one is from Friday, February 25th, from Donald J. Trump. Fake news media knowingly doesn't tell the truth. A great danger to our country. The failing New York Times has become a joke. Likewise, it's CNN. Sad.
Well, Elmer, thanks for that. It's not fake news, and the more you try to quash the story of collaborating with Russia before the election, the more you tell us, Mr. Trump, that you had nothing to do with it, the more I don't believe you. Let's just wait and see how the story unfolds, because we need to know we weren't lied to by the president. We need to know. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of trust for we the people, and it needs to be clarified. Folks, that's it for now. I want to thank you for listening. And no matter your party, stand up for the Constitution. It's up to us to guide the nation at this point. It's up to us. As always, send your comments or questions to rustedcultureradar@gmail.com. That's rustedcultureradar@gmail.com. And don't forget, one way or another, they're going to get you.